is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and Vicky and I are ready to be your guide that hopefully
listen
will take
to
you.
You
to a better, oh man,
Robbie yeah. today.
Take you to a better place, a place of grace, because, oh my goodness, we wake up every day. We still have good days and bad days. We still have sinful interactions, but overall, the way we relate is so much better. The way we relate keeps us grateful and thinking about Acts 3:19 that says, repent so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. We would love to not be the only ones that experience that. We've experienced times of refreshing like we never thought possible in our marriage, but it's rooted in real heart change. And so we're walking through that passage in 1 Corinthians 13 that tells us what real love is and what real love isn't. Because until you get off the table some of the marriage love killers, you will still keep experiencing the same lackadaisical, low-level love in your marriage and
listen
wondering what is wrong, what is
turning.
Missing.
He's going to God's word, folks.
Well, listen to the pages turning, because here's what it says. Here's real love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. It is not puffed up. It doesn't parade itself. And it is not rude. Oh, let's talk about
rude.
That today, babe.
Let's do.
Love is not rude. I'm often fairly shocked by the way men conduct themselves in the presence of their wives. I'm thinking, it's just rude.
Mm-hmm.
You got any thoughts on this?
Yeah. I mean, I just think, I think, especially with guys, they just, I mean, I'm not a guy, so I don't know. I've never been in a locker room. It's just like the things that go on in, you know, football locker rooms.
Yeah. More,
he's
more
always
than
like,
rude.
You'd be shocked.
I would add a C to the front of R-U-D-E, crude.
I mean,
and I get it, guys. I played football. I played sports. Uh-huh. I've hung out with guys. I understand what happens when it's just a room full of guys, but I'm telling you what, correct me if I'm wrong, Vicky. Your wife does not want to be around you as you conduct yourself as if it's still a room full of football players.
Right.
She's your wife. And so let me bring it out of fuzzy land into practical.
Please do.
Unless your wife has looked at you and says, oh, yeah, that doesn't bother me at all. In fact, let's have a belching contest. I'll see if I can belch louder
I've never
than
done
you.
That.
You should not be belching.
Mm-hmm.
I still know of guys that's like, they just belch as loud as they can and as long as they can make it last in front of her,
mm-hmm.
just at the house.
And if that happens, we always say, excuse me.
Please, no.
Right.
It's going to happen sometimes.
Other things
and then
happen.
I say, oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Often there's wind coming out of the other end.
He's in a rhyming mood today.
But it's
wind
an accident.
Coming out of the other end.
We actually live our married lives pinching the back wind exit and not thinking, yeah. Just rip off a yard of that
right
in front of my wife.
Thank
it's rude.
You. Yeah, it is.
It's true. Are you grateful?
Yes,
that I'm
I
not,
am. I don't like that.
You know, just kind of crude, crass.
She's not one of the guys.
Behavior in front of her.
Right.
Even how you eat your food sometimes at the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we should be conscious that we're in the presence of a woman. And she would like
or
to be treated
spouse.
Like a woman.
I mean, you don't want me to eat like
well,
a,
I'm starting
a
with the fact that you're
either.
A woman
right.
and women aren't men.
Yes, true.
And then ramp it up. She's my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to treat her with care and I want her to feel special.
Right. And I think, once again, if you have children in your home, they're all learning these behaviors too, which I mean, you know,
yeah,
having five children, there's plenty of fun and, you know, frivolity and foolishness sometimes that went on. And I'm not against all of that.
Don't hear what we're not
but
saying.
But I mean, if the boys see the dad doing these things, then they're just going to think, oh, this is how we conduct ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
Because please know, even your boys can be taught and they can understand. When I was just with the boys camping, we did all this.
Wow.
You know, yeah,
so
baby.
Sorry, I missed that.
I mean, it was like fire in the hole. And just, you know, my. I mean, big guy fun. But to Vicky's point, they were taking their cues from me and they saw dad never in front of mom at the supper table says fire in the hole.
Thank you.
And does stuff like
that. Would not have gone over well.
And they can learn from you.
Yes.
They can actually sort out where and when is that appropriate. And, but we still had fun. You can have fun without being rude.
Yes. Yes.
We had lots of fun.
Anything else on that?
Well, I think it really has to do with just not acting unbecomingly.
Mm-hmm. I think another way I think this be having common rude behaviors in marriage would be just ignoring or stonewalling your spouse. You know, walking away, shutting down.
That's true.
Or just giving
pretending they didn't say something to you. That's rude.
Right. It makes the partner feel, makes your spouse feel unimportant. So I think that, and that's so in vogue in our culture. I mean, not only is it in vogue, it's like lauded. Like, yeah, I was watching something online. It was this guy and he said, you know, if someone does something weird to me, that's it. I'm done with you. I'm over. I'm like, okay, that's how our culture responds.
Yeah.
But I mean,
because we do live in a cancel culture, ghost you culture.
But that's not biblical.
It's not biblical, and it certainly isn't going to cause love to thrive in your home if you're doing that towards each other.
Right.
It's just rude to pretend they didn't ask you a question or they didn't speak.
Right.
And they have to say, did you hear me? Now, there's a place for, I didn't hear you. I really didn't.
And the older we get, the more we have that.
And the more that sometimes happens.
Did you really not hear me? No, I really
but we're
didn't
talking
hear
about,
you.
You know, they just spoke to you and you are choosing to literally not answer them.
Right.
Just, that's
there's
rude.
Just no place for that.
Yeah.
Especially, that's just showing disrespect to your spouse. And I know, especially, we try to actually find each other and we do not do this that well, but we try to find each other, look each other in the eye, and then ask the question. That way you know your spouse is at least in the same room and can hear you.
I have a hearing loss. One ear doesn't work at all.
Right.
And so I often do have to say from the bathroom, she's in the kitchen, I've gotten home from work, I'm washing my face. And it's great that we love to talk to each other, but she's already talking to me and I just can't figure out what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't say it in a harsh tone, but even I don't yell it back. I'll step out of the bathroom, round the corner, out back into the big living area, and I'll say, hey, honey, let's just wait till we sit down for supper. And here's what I'll say to make sure she knows I'm not ticked. I don't want to miss a thing you're saying.
Wow.
But
yeah,
I
he
can't.
Does say that.
Don't I say that?
Yeah, you
I don't
do.
Want to miss
it's
a
kind
thing
of a nice
you're
way of saying,
saying,
please stop talking to me when you can't see me.
Well, you know, I'm not mad, but it's like, this is hard. I'm catching every third word. I really don't know what you're saying.
Right.
Let's just wait.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot talk from another room
but
anymore.
But certainly just walking away when your spouse is definitely speaking to you. I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
That would be rude.
Because I also discovered, because this happens quite a bit since I can't hear in one ear, that she doesn't want me to say, what?
No.
What?
It irritates me for some
it's
reason.
It's just kind of got an edge to it.
What?
Just keep it down and just say, oh, I'm sorry, honey. I can't hear you. Let's just wait until we're sitting face to face at the table. So that's a way of being rude.
I think another way is just being impatient. I mean, this is so common. I think it's so easy for couples to do, being impatient or snapping at your spouse. Like you're being in a hurry or stressed out, but that doesn't justify you taking it out on your partner. Or just using harsh or condescending tone. Sometimes it's not even what you say, but how you say it.
Ah.
You know? So I think both of those are pretty common in marriage, wouldn't you think?
Yes, I agree. Just state it again.
So being impatient or snapping.
Yeah.
You know, being in such a hurry or stressed out, but that doesn't justify taking it out on your partner or using harsh or condescending tones. Sometimes it's not even so much what you say, but just how you say it. You can tell they're ticked off at me.
And that's another way that we're guilty of being, it's rude.
Right.
It's just
because things are going to happen. And I just think, once again, it's our spouse that usually gets the brunt of most of our, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I'm stressed, yeah. You know, whatever. It's still no excuse. It's something we can continually be working on.
It's so true. There are times where you've gotten to a point in life where you've done it so much. Mm-hmm. It's pervasive. You do it everywhere. Yes. At work.
Or you see people do it to their partner.
In general, here's the sad truth for most of us. Our spouse gets the worst version of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you feel like, oh, I'm home now. And it's been so hard. And it's been such a tough day. And there's been so, and now I'm just very short, very sharp, very impatient. I remember one of the most convicting things that Vicky said to me in those early days when it wasn't good. And we were having, you know, the kind of interactions we were having in our home. She looked at me and she said, you would never talk to Pam or Susan this way, the way. And I wasn't using the F word, and I wasn't.
Right.
But it just had
more of that impatient.
It's
or
what
snapping
you were saying right now. Yes. It was impatient. It was clipped. Yes. It was sharp. It was short. And I stood there and thought, she's right. Those were the two secretaries at the church there in South Carolina. I thought, I don't.
But I remember a time you did it right too, though.
Yeah.
When we were on vacation recently.
Well, let's take a break. Okay. And when we come back, I would love to talk about Brad Bigney getting it right, because it doesn't always happen. But take a break. When we come back, how Brad got it right one time.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. You know, what Brad and Vicky are talking about, I don't think it's dramatic abuse. It's one of those things that we've talked about, or they've talked about before, death by a thousand cuts. You'd never be impatient with a coworker the way you are with your spouse. Somehow we've convinced ourselves that we have permission to use that behavior with our spouse, the person that loves us the most, the person that we've committed our lives to. That's the kind of thing that we're getting to the heart of here at Fortis Institute with Brad and Vicky and all of the other content that we are constantly, consistently producing. And all of the content that we're producing, it lives in one place at Fortis Plus. And if you have not downloaded Fortis Plus just yet, talk to someone who has, and they will be able to tell you exactly what I am telling you. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of audio and video content live right there on Fortis Plus, and it's available to you absolutely free of charge, because we don't believe that our content that we're working so very hard to produce should live behind a paywall. We believe that it should be available to you for free, because we want to reach more people in more places all over the world to help edify and build up the local church. Go to wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org, and you'll find it there absolutely free. And the reason that it's free is because of our gospel partners. These are men and women who believe in the mission of Fortis Plus so much that they want to stand with us and link arms with us so that more people will have access to this content. And if that is you, if Fortis Institute has helped you in any type of way, then I want to ask you to start praying about what it would look like in your life to join us as a gospel partner. I don't want you to immediately go to Fortis Institute and sign up to become a gospel partner, because we don't want you blindly giving us money. That's not the kind of ministry we are. We want partners who will stand with us because they believe in what we're doing. And so we want you to start praying about it and talking with your spouse about it, talking with friends in your church about it. And then if you're giving to your local church faithfully, because your local church is your number one giving priority, if you're doing that and you have a margin to join us and stand with us, that's when we want you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, but not before you have all of the details and information about what it would look like in your life to do just that. And you can get the conversation started right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. And we're trying to find out what would help our marriage move beyond life support and begin to thrive instead of just slowly beginning to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're on that love is not rude.
Right.
It's not rude. So you're not impatient. And Vicky was bringing us some ways what rude looks like beyond just you don't belch and you don't,
right. That's kind of what we think about.
That's rude. But there are other ways that honestly, that's just rude. Mm-hmm. And so one of them was, you're not impatient and snappy and snippy mm-hmm. and condescending towards your spouse.
Or harsh.
Or harsh. And
Which is very common in marriage.
Oh,
it is.
And this really is something that we've seen a difference in our marriage, but it's a choice mm-hmm. because you're still going to feel that impatience rearing up inside you. You know, I've admitted that I'm rigid. I'm wired for take that next hill. I like to be organized. I like to get stuff done.
Here's, and he almost never loses things. And that's leads us up to our story.
Almost never loses things. And so
how he got it right.
I have found that one of the sweetest things you could extend to your spouse is when there's a moment where they know you could say, you're kidding me. Mm-hmm. You do this all the time. What is wrong with you?
Right. Those are phrases you should never use.
Those are phrases you don't want to use.
Please don't use those.
It's love is not going to thrive and it's rude. So I'm thinking about just recently we were on vacation and so we always do our grocery shopping at Walmart and we'd gotten all settled into our Airbnb. We like to, Vicky's great at that. I mean, she can search and pick out the Airbnb.
Yeah.
So we're settled and then we just make our list of what we want to get, you know, what kind of cheeses, what kind of snacks, what are we going to eat?
Right.
And, she made this list on her phone and then we head off.
Because I'm living in 2025. I don't even have to have a paper.
How about that? No paper.
I still use a paper calendar.
This girl makes a list on her phone.
She's trying to
embrace
technology.
We get to Walmart. We're circling the parking lot. I'm aimed towards a parking spot. And she says, oh no, where's my phone? Mm-hmm. Where's my phone? Now, I got to be honest. This is a cry that I hear a lot. It's just part of our lives.
I mean, it's one of the main reasons I got an Apple Watch is not to tell the time on my Apple Watch, but the Apple Watch has the little thing on your phone, on your watch, where you can punch in the little button and it'll tell you where your phone is. The little ding, ding, ding.
Nice.
That right there. Oh. Uh-huh. Saves me many a time.
But does it have a grocery list?
No.
Yeah,
but it helps me find my phone that has the grocery list.
And so, of course, the hope was that it is, because this cry happens often, you know, and all it means is it's deep in her purse and she has not yet dug her hand into the right little pocket or section, or it has fallen down in between the seats. So we got out. I believe we looked everywhere in between the seats, under the seats, all through a purse.
But then I started thinking, well, where is it? I hope it's in our cabin.
Yeah.
I mean, did I leave it in a
restaurant
for lunch?
Yeah, then my mind began to race even more. What if it's not even at the cabin?
All these things were going through my mind.
Did we lose it on the... I can't remember if we'd flown there, where we were. Where did we lose it? And I could tell, we could take a guess at what we needed to buy.
Right.
But I could tell in this moment, because here's the other thing that I'm trying to do, guys, is you think, what would make my marriage better? I'm trying to learn Vicky and know when she's in distress or how she's wired, what is most important to her. And I could tell the grocery list is no longer on her mind. Mm-hmm. She desperately wants to have confirmed
where
that she still
phone?
Has a phone and where is it? Because we could have guessed and we were talking about that. And so I just looked at her and I said,
"That's very kind.
You know what? I didn't say you always do this. I thought to myself, I have pockets. And that's why I never, you know, rarely don't know where my phone is. So I looked at her. I just turned to her with a soft voice and I said, I feel bad for you ladies. You don't have pockets like we do as guys.
So kind.
And then I said, we'll find it. I bet you left it at the cabin when you were changing before we went out. Mm-hmm. Let's just go back. I could see her body, her posture, everything just relaxed.
Right.
Because here's what you need to understand.
And I think in the past, it would have been more impatience or snappy.
Oh.
Not necessarily, you were never condescending to me, but kind of harsh impatience,
but impatient
or snappy.
And snappy.
Yeah.
Because her body was tense for two reasons. You need to realize, guys, yes, that she didn't know where her phone was. And you need to always know, she was also, what is Brad thinking
absolutely
right now?
Absolutely correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
What is Brad thinking about me?
What is he going to do?
That's right.
Now.
And how is he going to respond?
So now it's a double whammy.
So when I responded in kindness, just brought it down. Now, I'm being honest because there were very different thoughts roaring inside me
apart from these. Sure.
Like, oh my goodness, it's our first night here. Because Brad Bingley's always like,
self-control and the Holy Spirit in you.
We were going to have some fun tonight. We have to go all the way back now and then come back to the store. It's like the Holy Spirit said, there's something more important right now. She's in distress, and she really also is wondering what you think
that's
right now.
That's a very good point, and that's
and
very
how,
true. Because I was probably equally upset about
And think about it. Here we are on vacation, day one. Mm-hmm. You guys need to realize this is going to set the tone for the vacation, right. Perhaps. That's what couples sometimes don't realize. It's little stuff.
We keep saying that.
That is ruining it. And so guess what? The night wasn't ruined. Mm-hmm. We didn't feel distant from each other or hurt. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we settled in, put our seatbelts back on, and as I turned it around and headed home, you could sense the closeness.
Right.
That she felt like, I'm loved. I'm cared for. Mm-hmm. He's going to help me find my phone. He's not mad at me.
Yeah.
He's not judging me. He doesn't think he's
me.
Better
yeah.
than me.
Right.
And praise God, yeah. we found it immediately.
As soon as we walked
I
in.
Think she had changed clothes from the ones we'd traveled right. in, and there it was.
Yes, a relief.
And it just, we turned around, we went back, and so
yeah.
you're shopping 45 minutes later.
Took a little more time, yeah.
And,
but kindness was extended instead yep. of snapping or harshness. I think another thing, speaking of phones, another way that rude behavior can exhibit itself is using your phones or screens while the partner is talking.
Mm.
Or I think even like definitely like at the kitchen table, I'm
not a fan.
I'm not going to be a fan of that with yeah. my kids or my spouse, because once again, what you're doing now at the kitchen table, your spouse is going to do with your kids will do with their
yeah.
spouse one day. So,
oh, yeah.
you know, put the phone down. I mean, put the phone down.
Yeah, I really do think it's like people with their phones today, they're like crack addicts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just can't even go without touching it.
Yeah. And it just feels like rejection or disinterest
yeah.
to your spouse. Like,
because without realizing, it's rude because you're saying something on my phone
right.
now is probably more important than anything you have to say right mm-hmm. now.
Right.
And so you might not have looked up and literally said that out loud, but it's making a rude statement. I care more about, and very often
yeah.
what you're looking at your phone, if the other person can see it,
yeah.
it's not that important.
No, it's usually not.
It's just not that important. Mm-hmm. So when we do need to, I appreciate she'll tell me what she's doing. Oh, I wanted to finish answering Sally from our small group.
Right.
She was asking me about.
Yeah.
And when I am
clarifying.
Actually still doing it, I'll say something like, oh, this is a conference host and he needs my notes right now. He was asking a
yeah.
clarifying question. So when we do need to do mm-hmm. it in front of each other,
yes,
we tell each other what's going on.
Right.
Because it should be the exception instead of the norm.
Right. That's good. I think another way is that sometimes in the home, rude behavior can be invalidating your spouse's feelings. Example, mm. you're just overreacting. Or, that doesn't matter. You shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah.
That just basically shuts your spouse down.
Yeah.
Instead of going, and this is something I feel like we've really learned too, asking questions.
Oh. Yeah, I hope you've heard this in show after show after show, how many times we mention questions.
Mm-hmm.
Even to pick up on what she's saying, when you say to your spouse, I don't know why you feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. There's no reason to feel that way. Instead, wow, what makes you feel that way?
Right. Or why are you thinking that?
Mm-hmm. What makes you feel that way, honey? I mean, nothing makes someone feel quite as loved and connected with and cared about as being drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
You're drawing them out.
Because most people don't draw
your
you out.
Your other verbiage right. is shutting them down.
Yes.
And actually belittling them.
Right.
Because in mm-hmm. a sense, you're saying it's even not even right to feel that way. Don't
right.
know why you feel that way.
Right.
You
you're
shouldn't feel that way.
You're being too sensitive.
So two things are happening.
Yeah.
Your spouse is going to emotionally take a step back from
mm-hmm.
you. And they're also going to conclude, he doesn't want to know me.
Right.
She doesn't
He's
even
not
really
a safe
want
person
She doesn't
for
want
me.
To understand me.
Right.
Instead, oh, what makes you say that?
Right.
Why do you feel that way?
Right. What's going on or what seems to be bothering you? Like,
yeah.
let me know about it. Because I think, once again, we're such a fast-paced society, and there's not really anyone necessarily checking in with you. And then to not have your spouse really care
yeah.
or checking in with you, wow, you feel very lonely. Obviously, we have Jesus.
Yeah.
But it is nice to have a spouse that's here in physical form, someone that's checking in with you and actually wants to know, hey, what's going on?
That's
what are
right.
you fearful about? What seems to be bothering you?
That's
what
right.
are some of your greatest concerns or fears right now?
So whenever your spouse enters into that zone of actually sharing feelings,
mm-hmm.
that's when you can really get to know each other and understand
right.
how to love each other better. Don't waste those moments
mm-hmm.
by rudely shutting them down. Ask questions. We're talking about love. And God's word tells us love is not rude. Consider in the ways that you interact with each other. And if God shows you ways that you've been rude, say, I'm going to try to adjust that. Form a new habit.
Right.
This just might move your marriage in a new direction.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.